You're now listening to The Brian Callen Show, rated the number one podcast of all time.
Of all time. Make sure you're ready, because this is the podcast where you are guaranteed to learn virtually everything. All right, everybody, you're listening to The Brian Callen Show. Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Go to audiblepodcast.com/BCS to download your free book. I just finished listening to The Looming Tower by Lawrence Wright, which is about Al-Qaeda and the road to 9/11 and the beginnings of this Muslim fundamentalism and how 9/11 happened. I recommend it very highly. And remember, go to audiblepodcast.com/BCS to get your free book today or tomorrow or next week or whenever.
Do you use a... I'm here with Kenny Hotz, and we're going to get into this in a second. Do you use Audible, Kenny? You don't read.
No, the only thing I read is menus.
You silly goose. So shredded.
I stopped reading. I honestly never really read.
Yeah.
My mind would wander. The last book I read was Clifford the Big Red Dog, and I don't know how it finished.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Clifford the Big Red Dog. That's all right.
Yeah. Listen, now I just watch the porno versions.
Oh, it's so hot. Dogs fucking.
Oh, yeah. Making love.
I read that some governments would use a dog and have a big, like, schnauzer, fuck you, as a form of
Nazi trained Doberman. Yeah, the Canadians do that now at the airport.
Do they?
Yeah.
just
if you don't have the
drugs,
right visa.
It's like for an anal cavity?
Yeah. Yeah,
but goddamn Canadians?
They pour maple syrup on your ass. It's the only way to get the dog in there.
Oh, it's so hot.
Yeah.
Have you ever put food on someone's genitals and licked it off?
No, it takes the taste away.
You've done everything. You know, I'm watching Kenny versus Spenny, which, by the way, if you guys haven't seen, you know, in Canada, you know what it is. The fact that you're not a megastar in this country is just incredible to me, because that show really does push the envelope.
Yeah,
it really does, but it's also funny as shit. It's ridiculous.
My brother says I have Van Gogh syndrome. It's how, like, Mozart and Van Gogh, the greatest artists in the world, were buried in, like, pauper pits.
Right.
He said I'm destined to be one of those guys.
Well, because it's as funny as anything I've ever seen, and as outrageous as anything I've ever seen.
Well,
and
because it's real. But before we start, I want to say I am the biggest fan of you.
Go on.
Honestly, I love you. I'm amazed I'm even relevant enough to sit here.
This is crazy.
In this gorgeous mansion.
In my mansion. I was sitting in my mansion.
In your gorgeous mansion at 325.
You bastard. Listen, I'm a big celebrity, and you're obviously excited to be here as well. You should. And yes. I have a better body.
That's true.
You were the same age.
Are we?
Yeah. I just have tighter fitting skin.
I drink
green tea and I do yoga. January
birthday?
26th.
Well, you know what? My dad was like that. He never had a drink. He played handball every day, ran 2 miles every morning.
Yeah.
And he died before his fat fucking brothers. And one of his brothers keeps a salami in his pocket. And he'd go, "You want a slice?" Like, he lived, and he always had a piece of kosher salami in his pocket. This fat fucking
kosher
piece of shit.
Of course.
Lived longer than my dad.
Yeah.
And so it's all the healthy guys like you that'll always die.
Well, that's what they say. People who don't really give a fuck are people who had suffered the trauma of losing a parent, despite the fact that they entered the contract of I'm going to be really healthy. It's like my grandfather smoked from the age of 9 and then lived till he was 84. You know, and he ate whatever I'd be on this diet. I'd be like, "Grandpa, you shouldn't eat dairy products." He'd be cutting a wheel of cheese like, that's great. I'm Italian. I'm 75. I hate you.
I had an uncle who was so morbidly obese. He was like 4'2", and he was really 500 pounds. And that's why all the Hotzes are obsessed with their weight. But he died like 500 pounds, and he had his own box of ketchup at the deli. That they're going, "Hey, AB, no more ketchup for you." So he actually had Heinz deliver ketchup for him.
Well,
but he used to eat, like, you know, 4 pounds of shit and then pull out these little saccharin tabs at the end and put in his coffee.
Yeah, no sugar for me. I'll eat a shitload of corn syrup and cooked tomato.
It was like Auschwitz. Like, his plate afterwards is insane.
Auschwitz.
It's like the Dr. Mengele of pastrami.
Well, what's fun about watching you on the show is that you're so not vain, and I love it. You know, in Rags to Bitches, which I just watched, you know, you start literally naked with wonderful hair on your shoulders, which protects you from the sun. And you're naked in the desert in Las Vegas, and you find your way into a white suit very drunk after a lot of debauchery at a strip club. It's actually well worth watching because you actually, it looks like you really did all that stuff.
I did. No, I really
did. You stole.
You know what?
But you're good. You're a real con man.
Yeah.
How?
You know what?
You're a bad person.
No, I'm kind of was like the black sheep of my family, and I had an older brother, and he used to beat me up, and I just figured out these way. You know, look, when I was a kid, you know, it was like Evel Knievel and James Bond,
right.
You know, you like you had to be like you. They totally glorified, like, you know, it was like Peter Sellers or Python or SCTV.
Yeah, but I see something different. Actually, you know what's interesting about watching you is see you're actually a. You're a journalist, right? I mean,
yeah.
And my feeling is, though, you say you don't read, you have a sense of history. Being you're Jewish, right? So being Jewish, it's kind of impossible not to at least have a sense of the fact that just 40, 50, 60 years ago, you would have been put on a train. In fact, 40 years ago, I think in this country, you would have had a hard time just owning property.
Well, I think I would be the guy putting people on the train.
Well, because you're very expedient. You would have figured your way through.
Everyone would be eating bowls of sand. I'd have, like, you know.
Damn Jews.
Black olive, you know, focaccia.
You just turn on your own people right away because you're a hedonist.
Yeah, I don't know. You know.
No, but what's interesting is that the reason I bring that up is because you have no problem. You're kind of obsessed with suffering and the notion that, you know, you're always on the outside looking in. You shock the shit out of people. You had a plane drag a banner behind the plane saying Jesus sucks in a Christian nation.
Yeah.
Canada. Thank God the Canadians. If you did that in Alabama, they would just kill you.
They kill you, yeah.
But what's really fun, what's interesting about that is that you do really push the envelope. I mean, you do crazy shit.
I know, but you know, I had the opportunity to, and I always felt like, you know, like who wouldn't, you know, carpus diem, like any of these opportunities. Like, yeah, I had some stupid broadcaster who was a, you know, some soccer mom that they didn't never realized what you were doing. Like, you know, you're not really allowed to drink beer on TV in Canada in commercials. And we did a whole who could drink the most beer episode where Spenny basically drank 90 beers and almost died.
Right.
And I slipped him acid on national television. Like, I bought 4 hits of acid.
You really did it.
I really did it. And it goes back to the other thing, too, of like why I stole the suit is it's a lot easier to actually do it for real because you're shooting for 30 hours and you're cutting 22 minutes.
Yeah.
That I, you know, when you look back and you know, you do this type of content, you know, I think there's like a future Kenny that's going to be in the edit suites that I have to deliver to. So I have this feeling
stuff that Borat was based on, that Ali G was based on. You're doing
Kaufman,
that.
I was a big
fan.
Yeah,
but you're doing it just as well and in some ways even better and more of it. So that's what's frustrating to me, that you're not more well-known in this country. It's retarded.
I could have been. You know, I tasted it. Like, yeah. I you know, I did some South Park stuff. And, like, I felt like, oh, fuck, I'm going to pop. This is going to be crazy.
Yeah.
But then the reality is, you know, I don't really want to be – it's just too much work
for me.
Well,
yeah, I was going to say, you'd be doing this anyway. You're not doing it for fame. You're doing it because it cracks you up.
Yeah. And it's tough and it really wears out. And, you know, the past year I've kind of been going through this midlife crisis going, you know, fuck, do I really even want to be in this business? And I'll tell you, and I don't like saying this to other people because I don't like saying, yeah, I'm unmotivated and I don't know if I should do this anymore. But the truth is, it's like, you know, I ate a fucking corpse and I stayed awake for a week in Kenny versus Spenny. That I've created a genre where...
Wait, have to back up. You ate a corpse?
Yeah, and my Google Cannibal, it's on my YouTube channel,
okay,
K-E-N.
Do you mind explaining that to me before we go on? Because I want to hear about the midlife crisis.
Well, my last show, we just got nominated for like the biggest award in Canada, which is so great because it's such
the Gemini or
no, the Geminis and the Genies merged into our Golden Globes.
Oh, wow.
So there hasn't been an award for almost 3 years.
Wow.
And I just got nominated, me and one of the kids in the hall and some other schmoes who... don't really deserve it, but you know, which is incredible that I'm that people
like you that
like
much.
Me that much, yeah. Or that I'm the antithesis of Canadian content.
You're not polite. You're not.
Yeah.
You know. You're. Yeah.
I'm kind of Canada's Galifianakis a little bit. You know, just kind of a little awkward and weird, but socially relevant, moral.
More so in a way. I mean, you're. Because it's one thing to be like actually what I think that you have that a lot of people don't have is it's one thing to be outrageous, but it's also another thing to be funny. Like, you're also funny within it. That's what makes it so good.
I'm a Jew and I love story. You know, like my I would edit every Kenny versus Spenny with panels, and Spenny didn't really sit and do that stuff. But when I made sure that when a commercial break came, that everybody took the fucking remote and put it on the table and didn't
touch it. You can see it.
My tags for commercials were so fucking heavy.
Yeah.
That you know, I just loved, and I love narrative, and you know, Kenny versus Spenny was a perfect.
But that's kind of what I'm talking
show for,
about.
Yeah. For
you're a good writer, like your ability to kind of weave a story around something outrageous and get us to watch, you know, whether who's going to be able to stay on a cow for that long. That still requires kind of a beginning, a middle, and end. You still have to follow the principles of story.
We got lucky with that one. That's the best ending. It's a worst show in Kenny versus Spenny history with the greatest ending. See, I always like triangulation. Like I like starting at this minimal point and it, you know, ending up like exploding into something.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, that's for me is the greatest thing. If I can start slow and then bigger.
Yeah.
Then
well,
for me, that's basically it.
Like eating a corpse. Please yeah. Continue. Explain.
I was with a broadcaster for 9-10 years. Like, listen, once you have a broadcaster, you know, you're Mad TV. Like, once yeah. And they're in, like, you are fucking raking it in. Like, you that is your home. Like, right. You are I lived in LA for 10 years, but I you know, I kept leaving because I was guaranteed a season every yeah. single year.
Yeah,
that's years of making cash and years of being like glorified on national television.
It's hard
and then
to
I did
with.
Two more shows with them. So I've done three shows with the exact same broadcaster. You get maybe the only person in Canada who's ever had three like national shows. And then my broadcaster sold out to this Christian company. So we all, Trailer Park Boys, all of us were gone. Like everybody knew we were done.
Wow.
And then while I was shooting this show.
Trailer Park Boys are funny.
Yeah, that's while it. I was shooting this show, I just knew, oh fuck, this is, because I know they're not watching me. I know I can do anything I want. I already got the money and they're going to have to show it by law. You know, where that's the way the system works out yeah. there. The government pays you to do television. So I just did, you know, I took the opportunity when
do something that was
that nobody else
irreversible.
Yeah, that nobody else has ever done ever. And look, you know, fuck, I'm a total, you know, downloader. Like I got to compete with fucking Family Guy, South Park, Breaking Bad, you know, like the shows I have to compete with online, and coming from Canada, which is basically, you're basically a retard with a, you know, American accent to you guys. Like we're so off the map. It's a joke. Like yeah, if I don't do this stuff, you know, I'm not going to have the ability to be cool.
But there is sort of something about Canadians that I love. I love performing there because you guys, whatever it is, first of all, you don't take yourselves very seriously as a country, which is a beautiful thing. And you're, I think the level of education is a lot higher somehow, so you can get away with more. You
totally.
Can just be really esoteric and crazy, and you're granted more license on top of the fact that people are kind of just too polite to be like, you suck.
Well, I think the reason why Canadians are so big in Hollywood is because we basically do British comedy with an American accent.
That's right.
That you guys cannot handle British comedy.
Yep.
But we you know, we emulate it. Yep. We grew up on it. Like we that's all we had.
And the bar's high in that sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and it's dry and it's cynical, and Canadians are very dry and cynical, but, you know, we translate it into something Americans can understand, and we're the perfect mix between...
That's an interesting way of putting it. I never thought of that.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Well, that's why I'm a genius.
Back to eating a corpse.
Okay, so it's illegal in Canada. It is illegal to eat anything from a dead body. Illegal. You'll go to fucking jail.
Fucking Nazis.
Yeah, yeah. So, bullshit. But... I mean, I found out, we went and got a lawyer in the show, and I found out that if you eat an appendage or something that's fallen off of a live body, like skin or teeth or blood,
yeah,
you know, teeth or bone or you know, a human organ, which
sure,
I
could have told you. Keep going.
Is that so? You can actually eat all the elements of a human body legally.
If they fall off.
If they fall
from
off.
From like necrotis.
Yeah.
Frostbite.
Or yeah.
Leprosy.
Or you give
keep
a
going.
Give a homeless guy $11 and hack off his foot.
Right.
Throw some black bean sauce on it.
My axe slipped. Yeah. Sorry about
I didn't
half
know.
Your foot.
Seriously, officer, go find a black guy with one foot. What are you bugging me for?
It's like Sarah
the guy sold it to me.
Sarah Silverman's joke I just saw. She's like, and homeless people, what's amazing is they really, something about human potential. And a lot of times when they're walking around barefoot, their feet turn into moccasins.
Yeah, so I like she. I love. I
She's
like
amazing. All right, so keep going.
So I figured out a way to consume all the elements of a human body legally, and I do it on the show.
What did you eat?
Well, I started with my friend and co-producers, Blood, Jeffrey Castle.
Jeffrey's right here.
From testes.
Jeffrey apparently doesn't smoke or drink, and he doesn't even have coffee. I offered him coffee. He's like, no, thank you.
Oh, he has a...
Nothing. I'm cured. I'll just drink some water. Thank
he was
you.
Playing hockey, has like a sore back, couldn't get out of bed, and he won't do an Advil, like won't do an aspirin. He refuses.
He's so clean. I drink your blood in a heartbeat.
The greatest friend
I'm telling
have.
You right now, I was having sex with a girl one time, I swear to God, and she was going, she's like, I want to drink your blood. I swear to God she said that. I was like, that actually gave me pause, but then I kept fucking. Keep going. So what did you eat? So you drank...
I want to hear more about that story.
I'll tell you. You drank Stefan's blood.
Jeffrey's.
I mean Jeffrey's blood.
Well, how do you know I call him Stefan? In bed, I call him Stefan.
I call him Stefan.
Fernando.
Yes. Fernando.
Tighten your bum, Fernando.
Ah. Oh. Yes, arch your back. Are you leaving, Jeffrey? He can't take it.
No, I can't take it.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Pure enough conversation.
You're a good man. You're a good man. And thank you for letting Kenny Hotz drink
for
your blood.
Off.
Go out that way because you have to go out the
front. Well, I actually just chewed his tampon.
Exactly. If the gate's locked, ask Patricia to.
So I just went through blood, bone.
You ate some bone.
Skin, muscle. Skin, and I ate.
You ate human muscle? Is that safe?
Yeah, well, we had it tested.
Okay, but I mean, how did this person die? Who was it?
Well, it was a human organ. I ate a 3-pound placenta.
You ate a 3-pound placenta?
Yeah, but I had the greatest chef in Toronto do it. I had a sommelier pick various wines for all the courses.
You're out of your fucking mind,
I went
dude.
On Facebook, and I asked my fans for a placenta, and I got 3 of them in the mail.
That is incredible.
I did.
And wait, so you ate a human placenta?
And then I brought one to Just for
but
Laughs.
Did you eat dead flesh?
I ate a whole fucking placenta. You'll watch a show. It's called Cannibal.
Yeah, but did you eat, and you drank some blood, but did you actually eat anybody's meat?
Well, placenta is an organ. It's an actual organ. It's got muscle, meat, blood, and like
Jesus
everything's
Christ.
In it.
That's so
like
hippie. You're such
a
hippie.
He crisped the entire umbilical cord for me, and he made this... Like this 5-course meal, and I did the end of it's like Iron Chef. I went to Jamie Kennedy, who said he would do it, and some famous chefs in Toronto. But there was this one guy I love called Matty Matheson, who ended up doing it, and it is incredible.
That's just amazing.
Yeah. Well, listen, it was it's
you go the extra mile.
You know what? Yeah, I feel like nobody's doing anything, and there's nothing for my demographic.
Well, that's what's so fun about you is that's what I mean is like you do shock and surprise, and by the way, you do it by being funny at the same time. That's what's so hard.
Well,
to do.
I think one of the good things is like you know when you have Jackass and Tom Green and Bam and these guys that they enjoy doing that shit.
They
and
do.
I think one of the greatest things about my persona is I hate doing it. Even Kenny versus Spenny.
Right.
We hated doing these humiliations at
you
the
mean,
end of the show.
Yeah.
So
an old guy a sponge
but you know
bath.
You know Tom Green's loving it and you know Jackass and all those fucking cheesers are like loving it.
For you guys who don't know, Kenny versus Spenny in this country, you have to YouTube it because they would have a competition, right? So they'd be like, let's see who can keep a shit in my and let's see who can keep shit in their diaper. They'd wear a diaper, take a shit, and see who could keep that shit in their diaper the longest. And of course, you're a master cheater. You're a master
cheater. Well, devious. You know,
oh my God, you go and get like
kitty litter.
The shit that like actually stops you up. And then Spenny doesn't do that, so he has diarrhea. And it's incredible how you win, and it's so fucking.
And it's real.
And by the way, as if that's not humiliating enough, it's all real. Then the loser has to do something. He's got to be humiliated. So you had, you know, it's like you got to give this old guy a sponge bath, which is so gross. Anyway,
we had some bad. Oh, some of the humiliation. So that was actually the hardest part of the show is wearing a funny T-shirt because we did 90 episodes.
God,
so I had 90 cool, 90 funny T-shirts, which fucking sucked.
Yeah,
you know, making those.
Yeah,
and then the humiliations were so hard because Jackass and Tom Green were going super strong.
Yeah.
So you know, my greatest forte is I feel like I've never really made the same joke twice on the show.
Yeah.
And I'm banging off 1,000 jokes every episode.
It's incredible.
And then to not do like a humiliation that Jackass didn't do, it was so fucking tough for me.
Do you do stand up?
No, I never got into it. I never did it. I didn't really like it. I always thought, for me, I love stand up. Like I love comedy, but I'm not an actor and I'm not it's weird.
I've always been a practice joker.
I could have been a great actor. I did Zack and Miri, and I got asked to do a bunch of stuff. Yeah. And I know some.
You look
a lot
like Eddie Izzard. You know that, right?
I hear George Clooney a lot.
Yes, I was going to say. And you're a cross between George Clooney and Eddie Izzard.
Am I?
Yeah.
And what's his name? Oliver Reed.
Oh, God, Oliver Reed.
Tommy.
He was great. Oliver Reed was a handsome alcoholic.
Yes.
Big eyes, great voice.
Thank God. Look, I'm happy I don't look like that chick from, God, what was that? Oh, my brain is fucking melting.
The chick from, just the chick from.
Who played Mad Max again?
Oh, Tina Turner, you mean? Or?
No. Who played Mad
Max? Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson was in that photography movie with that chick that played a guy. He was in Cambodia or something.
Oh, my God. In What's Year of Living Dangerously, yeah. Helen Hunt.
No, the little midget girl.
Her name is Helen Hunt.
The midget girl that played
a
man?
Yes, I think it's Helen Hunt or it's Linda Hunt or something.
Yeah, anyway.
She won an Academy Award for that.
Yeah.
I had a long conversation with her one time.
Best male performance.
About acting.
Really?
When I was doing Mad TV, she was shooting on the lot. And I just had to go over and say, you know, you're amazing, and I just want to talk to you. And, well, yes. And I said, I asked her some bad question about acting. I was like, I really want to know how to act. I was like, so when you're working on a character, I mean,
when you're pretending to play a midget,
do you think like
man?
The character says, well, I suppose you have to. I mean, at the end of the day, don't you? I mean, yeah. I was like, well, I don't know. I was like, all right.
Yeah, I went and did some auditions. I had an agent, and he kept sending me out for auditions, and I sucked. I couldn't do it. I couldn't even remember lines.
Well, acting is a craft, but it also requires a certain kind of personality. Frankly, I've met some big actors and worked with big actors, and a lot of them tend to be a bit of a letdown. They're pretty myopic sometimes, yeah. Or they're not, or they're really quiet, or they're a little bit boring because they're not that interested in you. It all depends. I mean, then again, I just worked with Lawrence Fishburne, who's amazing, yeah. You know, a blast, or John Leguizamo, I just worked with, who's incredible,
very
and or Elizabeth Banks. You know, sometimes you work with really fun, cool people.
I was in a scene with her in Zack and Miri. She's so
dude,
nice.
She's 39, okay? I just did this scene with her 2 days ago, and she's so beautiful.
Yeah.
With the craziest body. She's in this yellow dress, and I'm playing this crack dealer who has to scare her and stuff. And I just kept, I was like, just inappropriately eyeing her up the whole time.
Yeah, I was too. Her husband's there. He was hanging out.
But yeah, she's been with him for 20 years.
I'm the best actor in the world. When it's my stuff and I'm controlling it and I'm in front of my shitty friends and I'm just trying to make them laugh, then I am fucking Brando.
Yeah.
But the second you put me on a set with somebody else, I get all nervous and fucked up.
Yeah, but that might just
and
be
I get embarrassed.
That might be just because you need somebody to help you navigate and put that particular craft into your own terms.
I'm so mad at myself, and I really hate myself that because I love actors and movies more than anything in the entire fucking world, and I grew up watching every movie ever made. But the fact that I can't go out there and act on someone's movie, that's the one thing I hate about myself.
You mean you just feel that's a hole in your
Fuck. That if I had a genie came up to me and I had three wishes, one of them would be that, you know, I don't get nervous when I'm acting.
Do you know what my biggest thing is? I can't laugh. Like if you had me laugh on, like if I had to laugh hysterically, I can cry, I can do all that. Laughing is my huge hole in acting. Like I can't do it.
Really, Scott?
Because I don't laugh in real life, really. Yeah. If I think something's really funny, I might just be biting my nails. I'll be so overwhelmed, but I'm not a big laugher.
Yeah. Well, then you shouldn't laugh. You should be true to the character in a sense. If you're not the right guy for that, if you want Laffy McGee in this scene.
Well, that's the other thing is every time, you know, I'm always in the trenches auditioning for stuff. And, you know, you just either, sometimes you walk in the room 9 times out of 10, they've made their mind up. They're like, no, he's not right. You know, this is the way the business is.
Yeah.
It's such a specific business.
Yeah, it seems, and I have nothing against actors or stand-ups. I've got this fucked up thing in my head where when I see someone on stage doing stand-up, I think it's pathetic. I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know, especially
I talked to Will Sasso about that. I want him to do stand-up because he's so funny.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know.
It seems so desperate. I'd rather go out just having these cool shows, like these slick shows.
But I don't think, you know, the way it's funny you say that because I was just talking about stand-up. I swear to God, when I write stand-up now, I don't even think about trying to be funny. I actually just write what I think is going to be interesting and what's going to surprise me and kind of shock me. And then the funny kind of finds its way through that. In fact, when I'm trying to be funny, if I'm trying to write something like a trick or something, a part of me dies. Like I actually can't do it on stage because then I'm just trying to manipulate you into laughing by pulling a fast one on you as opposed to like talking about something I care about.
Yeah, but you're at the, you know, half of stand-up comedy is walking out there and being some, you know, you're a recognizable person,
yeah.
and people cerebrally know, oh, that guy's funny from Man TV or something. So the second people are like, oh, then half your job's done.
Yeah, it's true.
You could get up there and pretend you're, you know.
You know what, though? Having said that, though, you know, when you're up there for an hour and 15 minutes, you still got to have stuff, because otherwise you can get away with that for the first 20 minutes and then people start.
It's funny. First time I ever did stand up in my life was in Kenny versus Spenny. We did a show, Who Do Black Guys Like More? And I don't know if you've seen it.
It's the only
two parter. We had to make it a two parter because we did Who's the Biggest Retard?
Yeah.
And we both had to act retarded, and the broadcaster made us, you know, to make it who's a bigger idiot, but we both have to act retarded for like a week.
God,
and I almost burnt down the house. Like with me, it was like I'm like a laser. Like if I was committed, that's why I think Kenny versus Spenny is so good. Like
oh, yeah.
if it's who can eat the most meat, I fucking ate 30 pounds of meat in like 3 days.
It's incredible.
You know, and I like
who can lose the most weight. I mean, you do crazy.
Yeah, I lost. You know, I did the first episode we ever did was who could gain the most weight as a USA Network pilot, and I gained 20 pounds in 3 days, eating Kentucky Fried Chicken skin and filet of fishes, and I ate quarter sticks of butter.
No,
I bet you anything, Spurlock, that fucking shitty guy, saw that show because it was big. We went viral on iFilm in 2000.
Right.
I know he saw that. The whole show's about me eating McDonald's. I eat McDonald's for a week, and I live in a wheelchair, so I won't, you know, gain any weight.
Wow, that takes such endurance.
Yeah, and
I
was hallucinating.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing that I know is that you are not afraid to punish your body. Like, you're not, your body is like a tool
for entertainment. That's one of the reasons why I've kind of been taking like a year or two off, because, you know, even in this the Triumph of the Will, the last show I did.
Yeah.
You know, landing in the desert, you know, barefoot and being stuck, you know, a mile out, 2 miles out from a street. Do you know that you don't know, but there's like cactuses under the sand? Like,
oh, yeah.
You can't walk.
Oh, dude.
Like, I was barefoot in the desert. That was
absolutely
fucking the stupidest thing I've ever done.
I went hunting in Montana. Believe me, there is shit. There's a reason we wear shoes.
Yeah, there is, like,
you cannot walk.
You
in
can
the
like
wild.
You brush, like you put your hand on a tree and you pull your hand down. You realize, oh my god, this tree's covered in spikes.
Exactly.
I'm from Canada. It's like my hand is gushing blood. Yeah. I have no idea. Like, you can't even see them.
Human skin sucks.
I know.
You're like a balloon in a fucking.
Ugh. It's the worst.
In a pin forest.
Look, well, you've swam in like, you know, the Aegean. You know, like,
yes, I have.
You touch a piece of coral, it's like a hot Ginsu's going through butter.
I was in the Florida. The water was pristine, and this guy was like, "Oh," and I go, "What?" He goes, "Nah, I just stepped on a stingray the other day, and I just have never been. I have just still not the same." I was like, "There are stingrays?" He goes, "Oh yeah, they're little ones. They really sting." I go, "Well, guess what? I'm getting the fuck out of the water.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna." I don't like any of that stuff.
I went to this place once in Egypt called the Blue Hole, and when all these tourists were leaving, and these two Scottish guys, I go, "Hey, how was it?" And he goes, he turns to his friends, he goes, "Show me your burgers." And I go, "What?" He goes, "Show me your burgers." The guy pulls down his pants. He's got two hamburger scabs on both of his ass. They were looked like hamburgers.
Oh, no.
From, you know, a couple weeks before jumping in the hole and just touching the coral on the way down.
Fuck.
It ripped like both of his ass cheeks off.
Fuck that.
I was like, what the fuck?
Well, that's like Steve-O. You know, some people like Steve-O, who's going to do the podcast soon, you know, from Jackass. He's such a sweetheart. I said, what's the scariest thing for you to do? And he goes, anything involving big cats or venomous snakes, I suppose. But then I go, but Steve, you stuck a hook through your cheek and you got trolled behind a boat while they chummed for sharks and then almost lost your foot to a Mako shark. I go, how were you not afraid of that? And he goes, "Well, you know, we had the shark guy there." What do you mean the shark guy? He's in the boat. The shark guy
yeah.
is not going to fucking
throwing
save
fucking
you.
Chopped up herrings at
yeah,
you.
Yeah, he's not going to save you. He can't get into a shark's mind if the shark wants you.
I saw him jump off years ago. I saw this footage of him jumping off like a 30-story building into a swimming pool. I couldn't even believe it.
He's amazing, man. He is so nuts, and he couldn't be a nicer fucking dude. But so here's the thing. Now you're 46. You've done these crazy things. They take endurance. They take physical endurance. You've done everything. You've shocked and pushed the envelope. Now what?
Well, I did Testies for FX, which was a full sitcom.
Yeah.
And I actually did it with Tom Green's old partner, Derek Harvey, the guy who wrote Freddy Got Fingered with.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I really, that was the greatest thing for me, sitting behind the cameras, being fucking the Fuhrer of like a full like sitcom.
Yes.
And that's what I want to do. You know, that or just, you know, I'd love to own The Price is Right. Just own some shitty game show.
Do you know what
sit
I noticed
at a desk.
About you? You use the, you use Holocaust references a lot.
Yeah.
And your that was I was a history major, so that was actually my area of focus in college.
Me too.
Nazi
I loved
Germany.
Me yeah. too. I loved.
So I've always been fascinated with that period of history, you know, that you know, terrible time and how many people were killed and stuff, but I think it's interesting that you do a lot of things that require a lot of human endurance and humiliation and pain and even filth. Do you think that I don't know, is it, do you ever feel, is there any survivor guilt, is there anything about,
oh my god, 100%
and yeah,
Gesundheit.
Right. I mean,
yeah, I, you know what, it's funny, I'm obsessed with Hitler and the Holocaust, and I just before I came here, I went into a stamp store. I was just sitting drinking a coffee in Santa Monica, and there was a stamp store next door. And I'm sorry, I just bought two massive sheets of Hitler stamps. And if Jeff was still here, I would have given you one as a gift. Yeah, they're fucking insane.
Wow.
Because I have all this Nazi paraphernalia and stuff, and I love buying that stuff.
Yeah.
But I really do feel like, well, you know what I feel like? I feel like everybody in the world hates the fucking Jews. Everybody.
Yeah.
And if I do stuff that makes fun of the Holocaust or does something, you know, maybe there's some Al-Qaeda guy or some radical Islamist who goes, oh, you know what, that guy, that Jew's okay. And it's worth it to be a pariah to the Jews, to let these fucking anti-Semitic Jew haters out there know that, you know, one of them is okay. Just to be liked by one of them, I think, is a really important thing.
Well, that's very interesting, because I don't even think you would be a pariah to the Jews. I think that is, in some ways, the Jewish character, to kind of like always stand on the outside and push the envelope, to be someone to say, hey, the status quo, this is all a joke. I mean, let's shake things up a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you don't have, the thing about being Jewish is that you were always left out of the mainstream and the status quo, right? So you're always an outsider anyway.
Yeah.
So why not be on the outside and go, wait a minute, this is not fair. Look, in the civil rights movement in this country, half the white volunteers were Jewish. Half.
I know.
And they make up 0.01% of the population. Yeah. Why? Well, because that's part of the Jewish character. Look, I'm already an outsider. I see a bunch of other people, black people, being treated like shit. I'm going to fucking march.
I know.
Well, what do I have to lose? You know, you don't like me anyway. Fuck you. I'll rock this boat anyway. That's it's not fair.
It's funny. We were just talking about that on the way over. First of all, you know, Jews are black people with money. You know, like we are right. We're like a total.
And a true minority in the sense that there's much
fewer.
But out of a survival.
And, you know, we're talking about how the Jews, even though people are like, oh, you know what, the Jews control the world, you know, that is the main focus of anti-Semitism, and I think it's going to because the Jews don't control the world.
No.
Trust me, if the Jews controlled the world, I wouldn't be sitting here on your shitty couch. I'd be in Dubai,
in
you know,
exactly,
yeah, banging, you know, 6-year-old boys. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
But so I think it's actually going to force the Jews out of their survival mentality to control the world. You know what I mean? Because that's the only thing we can do to survive now.
I never think of it as controlling the world. What I think is another central point to the Jewish character is the notion of innovation. You've got to always look at what's going on and then try to make it better.
You know what they're doing in Israel now? It's fucking insane. They're getting rid of gas cars. They're turning gas stations into battery outlets. So everyone's driving electric cars.
So they can be.
And you go to a gas station and you exchange your battery. That's it. They're going off of oil. It's fucking. They are. I tell you, the Jews are great people. They don't want to fight. They don't want to do anything. Like they, you know, it's all out of necessity that they're doing all of this shit. I don't know. I don't want to talk about Jews and anything.
Well, no, but
like
it's
that.
Relevant because I think it's also interesting that a lot of the great comedians were Jews.
Yeah.
A lot of the great storytellers were Jews. A lot of the great directors were Jews. That's a part of the culture. You know, one of the things about the founding of Israel, if you ever read the book Exodus or anything about the history of Israel, yes, they were surrounded by enemies. Yes, they formed these this army. Yes, they were the wretches of World War II and came trying to rebuild their lives. Yes, they struggled. Yes, there was a lot of land. They did take land from the Palestinians. Yes. But one of the things about the kibbutz, one of the things about those communities mm-hmm. is they always created space for the arts.
Yeah.
There was a symphony. There were plays put on. There was poetry.
There's
and
terrible.
Those things were always held in high yeah. regard.
Especially like the worst art ever, the Jews. You know, it's like every art.
You mean like Rauschenberg?
Every
put a bucket, and a broom and a bucket, and be like, "This is art. Give me $300,000."
It's like every art gallery in Israel looks like they just got the stuff from Venice Beach. It's like the worst art you've ever seen in your life.
Oh God!
Yeah,
anyways. I've not been to Israel. Have you been?
I went, yeah. I went. I was in the Gulf War and stuff. I did that stuff,
oh, wow.
But I haven't been back. You know, I feel like, oh, fuck. Why go to the same place twice? Yeah, there's so many places in the world.
Yeah,
you know?
Where you been? Oh, you've been all over the world.
Yeah, I did a lot of traveling.
Your favorite
as
place?
A kid? Favorite place probably Turkey, Cappadocia. I went to this
really?
Fuck. It was like bedrock from the Flintstones. Like people live in these massive like tufa volcanic ash penises. They've been there for like a million years.
Wow.
It's totally fucked up.
Where is it?
It's Anatolia right at the corner. Yeah, it's right at the corner of Google and search. But you know, that's
thank
the other
you.
Thing. Why go anywhere? You know, I want to go into the Vatican now. I go on Google Maps and you can walk through anywhere. I can sit at home in my fucking underwear and go to like,
isn't that incredible?
You know, anywhere. Walk
know,
down any street
dude,
in any anywhere.
You can take classes online on YouTube. I mean, it's just,
insane.
You know.
Well, and that's the other thing. Back to stand up comedy. You know, why perform to 75? You know,
alcoholics.
Yeah, when
Tuesday.
You got your own fucking channel now, it's crazy. And I don't know. Well, maybe we're all grasping at straws, or maybe we're all doing what's right.
No,
I have no idea.
What's happening is like with this podcast, for example, you start developing a niche audience.
Yeah,
you start developing very specific people that are Kenny Hotz or Brian Callen fans. And what's great about being a performer is you can make your money catering and entertaining those people.
Yeah, I always felt guilty about making money. You know, Spenny was a total fucking rat, and he's so money hungry.
Is he?
Oh, he is the cheapest fucking guy. And he did this show called Single White Spenny. We lost our show, and then we each got a show.
Right.
I did, you know, 2020 on acid, and he did this total Larry David ripoff that is the worst car crash in Canadian history. And
really?
People should watch it. It is the worst show you've ever seen in your life.
What is Spenny doing now?
He's a mess. He's always been a mess. You know, when it was like,
you guys still very close?
No, on and off. You know, it's when Matt and Trey,
you guys aren't even that, you're not even that close anymore.
No. But you know, we worked together for 10 years,
yeah.
You know, but when, you know, Kenny vs. Spenny was Matt and Trey's favorite show, but
that's
when they
show.
Met Spenny,
Matt Stone and Trey Parker,
when they met Spenny, they knew it was real. And the next day we were on Comedy Central. Because everybody wonders if our show is real. You know, like you shoot 30 hours, cut 20 minutes. I throw on some Kabrickian fucking, you know, Penderecki or Mozart. And it
right.
looks fucking amazing. You
yeah.
have a good editor. Editors are, you know, 80%
yeah,
of production.
Yeah, but it's also your ability to tell a story.
Yeah.
I mean, no, there's no question. You can see the effort. First of all, two things I noticed.
It's real.
One, it's real. And two, that's a lot of effort. That's a fuckload.
Well, we did a lot of it. We did 89 episodes.
God. And did you make money?
Yeah, I made money. Yeah. Which is why I haven't really done anything.
So you're wealthy.
Yeah, look, I thought I'd be sucking wieners at the corner of Hollywood and Vine like 10 years or 20 years ago.
Have you ever sucked a wiener?
No, not yet.
No. Not in college or
you know, no.
You're gay though.
I'd like to be. I would love to fucking be gay.
It'd be easier,
live for free. Have everyone buy you dinner.
I know.
Mimosa, dear.
You can get laid so easily. Just take a walk in the park.
Yeah, and your boyfriend can't get pregnant.
Oh,
you know, like being, I wish there were gay pills. I want to invent gay pills.
My buddy's gay, and he said, I can go right now to 24-hour fitness and go get blown in a steam room. And he's like, and he goes, if you could go to Crunch and just choose any hot girl there and just get blown, would you do it? I was like, well, I mean,
yeah. Hey, where'd you go?
What guy wouldn't?
Brian,
yeah,
where
where'd
are
you?
You?
Go, Brian? Brian, where'd you go? I just cut to me sprinting.
Yeah.
You know, because guys are fucking pigs. Yeah, it's much easier.
It's funny. I used to date, and I don't want to name drop or anything, but I used to date Joni Mitchell's daughter when I was a kid.
Oh.
I dated her for like 4 or 5 years on and off. Anyways, it turns out my... shitty girlfriend is Joni Mitchell's long lost daughter. So when I came to LA in like 99,
my girlfriend,
I moved into Joni Mitchell's house for like a week, and she told me that her life never got like changed when she lost her libido, and that was the greatest thing in the world for her. So
her life changed when she
changed
lost
that she had a,
oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so that she her
because she was able to focus on other things.
Yeah, the loss of her sex drive. I remember she was fucking everybody else. She was telling me about sucking Hendrix's dick and
no.
all that shit. Oh yeah,
I
sat down with her, and she's the
Joni
nicest,
Mitchell
the
blew
nicest,
Hendrix?
Oh, the nicest lady in the world,
and
Morrison, everybody.
Really?
Yeah, she was a total slut.
Oh,
but the
really?
Nicest lady in the world,
dude. I have no problem.
I sat 3 a.m. smoking 400 cigarettes with her. I don't even smoke. I would sit with her and intricate details. How big was his fucking cock?
How big was
Joni?
Hendrix's cock?
Big. He had a bandana on it.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
He had a bandana. Why didn't I laugh at that? Because that was a joke. I actually took you seriously. I was like, did he? I was like, I thought, did he tie it on the end or the base? I'm going to tie a
both.
Fucking bandana around
he had
my shaft.
The Chachi Arcola. It was just in the middle. It's like on the jeans.
Fucking incredible, dude. Joni Mitchell.
It was fun. But
I dated Fiona Apple for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's a genius. She's just a better person than me. I have nothing bad to say about her. She's just better than
I
me.
I also dated Bowie's Ziggy Stardust, Bowie's stepdaughter, or his step goddaughter. She was really nice.
Was Joni's daughter? She's cute, huh?
Yeah, she was a good... you know what? I was funny. You know, being a funny Jew... I always dated super hot girls, you know, so,
yeah.
Which is lucky, you know.
Schickses?
Schickses, mostly a couple of Jewers.
Are you going to get married, do you think? Or?
My girlfriend totally wants to get married and have kids.
Do you want kids?
You know what? I want to.
I know what you mean.
I really want to. I'm so scared about just how, you know.
You'll be a great dad.
I know, but I thought my dad was, we were really poor, and my dad was poor, and he died, and I was there when he died, and I saw his eyes. He left us with nothing.
Oh, you're afraid. You're afraid.
I'm afraid that I have to go work because I'm comfortable. And I could, you know, I'm totally cool with buying a fucking pallet of beefaroni from fucking Costco and living, you know, next to my shotgun for the rest of my life in the house that I bought. My parents couldn't even buy a fucking house. I own a house. I would live on fucking ramen for the rest of my life, and I don't have to do fucking dick.
So you don't need a lot.
I don't know. I'm not a car guy.
If I give you
$20 million,
what happens?
What
do you buy? First thing you buy? Your parents' house? Your mama's house?
Nah, she's already old. I think what I would do is, I'd probably buy some fucking sick, retarded house.
You would?
Yeah. And I just load it up with guns and granola bars. And then I'd actually build.
Guns and granola bars.
I'm not a conspiracy guy, but I would still love to have some, you know, safe bunker.
Me too.
Oxygen and,
I think about it every
and
day.
Gas. And I'm not a conspiracy guy.
Dude, read a book. Sam wrote a book called The Disaster Diaries about getting ready for the apocalypse. It's kind of a tongue-in-cheek book, but it's really good. I think about that shit all the time. Like, I want water.
I want a well.
Yep, I want a well. I want fucking animals that I can milk. Yeah,
and I want space ice cream.
And you want what?
Space ice cream. And something that'll boil water.
Of course.
Yeah, like I said, just get an Enduro, you know.
It's a good idea.
A bucket of roofies and 6 cheerleaders.
Yes. I'd like to have just a... Yeah, when the shit hits the fan, I want just a harem.
I think the shit's going to hit the fan anyhow. And like I can't understand how electricity is on or how there's 6 different types of tomatoes in the stores. I don't know how we... I don't understand how we're maintaining... Like,
well, we're getting better and better at it. We're using less land to produce more food every day. And that's what's pretty amazing because, you know, we are figuring out a way to, first of all, grow. You know, people always make fun of genetic engineering and all that.
I'm all for it.
Dude, it's the only way to go. We're going to pretty soon, if you read Ray Kurzweil's book, we're going to have meat without central nervous systems. We're going to be cloning and growing pieces of meat as opposed to animals.
Great, I love it.
No animal suffering. You know, I know it's kind of Frankenstein.
Fill it Mignon, baby.
Exactly. And believe me, it'll be good, and we'll be growing our food, very nutritious food, in laboratories.
I know, Monsanto for president. I don't know why everyone's complaining.
Please. It's like they're coming out with golden rice. Greenpeace has been blocking its development. Golden rice is really high in vitamin A, which is kind of like what a yam is, and a lot of the world is vitamin A deficient. I think it's vitamin A. But the bottom line is, stop trying to stop the inexorable tide of technology. It's the way it fucking goes.
Listen, the second when I was a kid, watermelons came out and they didn't have seeds. I thought, oh my God, this is, we are the greatest thing.
It's incredible. It,
like a watermelon without seeds. I didn't even know that was possible.
It is possible. They're doing all kinds of shit with cross-pollination of DNA and synthetic biology.
I know. I was saying, I did my radio show. I was talking about how, you know, why don't they should merge Febreze and vaginas.
I like the smell of a vagina. I like that natural.
Chocolate.
I like the organic smell of a vagina. Vagine.
Cocoa.
A vagine.
Cocoa and vagina.
Well, we keep going beyond our biology. I wish I didn't need sleep. I sleep 8 hours and I feel good. If I sleep less, I feel like shit.
I've been going to bed at 9:30 every night. I wake up at like 5, 6 in the morning.
Have you been to a doctor? Have you had your body checked
out? My brother's a doctor. I'm a Jew. Half my family are doctors. The other half are patients, you know, so... Oh, there, you laughed.
I like it. But you're funny. You're a very special, funny dude.
Special, I mean, Olympics special.
You guys have to. You anybody who hasn't seen Spenny, Kenny versus Spenny, I cannot believe it.
Yeah, on my YouTube channel, just go Kenny Hotz / YouTube
Is
/ Kenny
Hotz. Hotz. What a Hotz, great name.
Yeah, actually, supposedly, and that's like the greatest Jew name you could ever have. Girls have been trying to marry me since high school. You Mrs. Hotz. Like, what a cool
lot of
fucking
Jews
name.
Would change the name to like Miller or Smith.
Yeah,
you know.
No, but that was an original. Supposedly, there was one of the treasurers of the Tsar was like a Hotz in like the 18th century.
Yeah,
a
lot of girls want that as their hot last name.
Oh yeah,
huh?
Fuck yeah,
Karen Hotz.
What's the coolest name ever? Especially if you're a Jew.
Francesca Hotz.
Red
Hotz. It's a good name for a movie star.
Yeah.
Maybe you and I'll get married and it'll
and
be
I'll
Brian
suck your
Hotz.
Dick.
Brian Hotz. You'll throat my dick, bro. You'll throat it.
I'll gargle after.
Yeah, I never had that. I did make out with a transvestite once when I thought she was a girl. I thought she was a cute little Spanish girl and turned out to be a Spanish boy with long hair. So I had that. That was my gay experience.
He was chewing tobacco at the time.
He was.
That's the
big
worst.
Old farmer. Big old farmer.
It's hard to get his overalls off.
Yeah,
those buttons on those. So you have to be.
He was filthy. He just stunk. He was a hog farmer.
Yeah, those are my favorite kind.
His ankles caked in mud. He hadn't wiped his ass in 2 weeks. But I just grinned and bared it. Why is my voice getting so deep and perverted?
Like clay. This is like.
You smell like poo.
This is like 50 Shades for Men.
Then I fucked him. Then I held him down. I held him in a headlock, and he smelled like poo, and I fucked him. Then I beat the shit out of him.
You hogtied him.
Well, Ken Hotz.
Stuffed hay in my mouth.
He stuffed hay right up my asshole.
Treated my cock like slop. And
hey, come on, Ken. I'm not the straw man. You are today, shithead.
Get that cock in that trough, sloppy.
This is where you realize that we've talked seriously for 45 minutes, and now, of course, I have to bring it down to the level of a goat.
Well, listen, you have to watch my show. I did an episode of Triumph of the Will called Sauschwitz, which is I try to stop eating bacon, my favorite food in the world.
Sauschwitz. Yeah. Oh, fuck. Bacon is my favorite fucking food.
So that's mine. So I tried to stop eating meat. I did an episode where I tried to become a vegetarian.
Like Tim Ferriss, who did my podcast. You know Tim Ferriss? He wrote The 4-Hour Body and The 4-Hour Cookbook. And he's just a really smart, wild guy who goes and does all kinds of things and writes books about him. And he went to the Blue Zone in Okinawa, meaning the part of Japan, Okinawa, where they live the longest, where they live routinely to 110.
That's
he wanted to figure out what they eat. They eat a lot of lard, pork lard, and pork fat and pork meat.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and they don't eat rice. They eat blue potatoes and stuff.
Well, that's the closest form of cannibalism to humans.
Well, dude, when I found out that bacon is probably good for you, I've been just nonstop. I love bacon.
I like making bacon.
Hey, you fucker. You some bitch.
I was writing that down while you were when we started.
Kenny Hotz here in Santa Monica, California, ladies and gentlemen. Banging it out. What are you doing in L.A.?
Actually, I'm doing podcasts. I just started a radio.
Do you have a podcast?
I have a radio show on Sirius XM, but I just started it 4 weeks ago.
What's it called?
Kenny Hotz Radio Show. Hotz. I called it Hotz Cast, and then the second I did that, all my fans were like, "Don't call it a cast, Kenny, because the casts are all dying, and you don't want to call anything a cast anymore. Call it a radio show." And I'm like, "Oh shit!" My fans are really protective of me, and they're such a great fucking bunch of Dorito munchers that fucking put my shit out there. And
What kind of ratings would you get? How many people would tune in to Kenny versus Spenny?
Well, it
guys
depends.
Won a bunch of awards, didn't you?
Yeah, we got a lot of awards.
It's gotta feel so good.
But everyone, you know, the stuff in Canada is so shit that, you know, once you really start doing stuff that's good or the antithesis of of the content that's out there, then people kind of don't like you and hate you. And then the other people think that, oh, you're just doing Jackass, when it's the furthest thing from Jackass. And Tom Green were a series of unrelated vignettes. Our show is a show about the male psyche and friendship, and it's a microcosm of society.
No, there's a beginning, middle, and an end. It's an actual story. Yeah, it's an episode where you're invested in what's going to happen.
Highly moralistic. You know, I think that's what South Park guys always loved about us. And there, some other South Park.
What do you mean by highly moralistic?
Is that if we do, you know, we did Who Do Old Jewish Ladies Like More, and I went and I got a Down syndrome kid to pretend he was my little brother, and I made him, I wanted him to tell the old ladies that Spenny used to molest him as a child, right? So I trained him to say that Spenny molested you. But I would never in a million years ever exploit, we never exploited anybody in the show.
Right.
That instead of, you know, me making fun of her total fucking retard.
Yeah.
We became friends.
Yes.
And we became friends, and we had a friendship.
They were empowered in a way.
Yeah, totally empowered. And even Who Do Gay Guys Like More? Like we literally try to fuck the gay guys. Like, we don't care. We made fun of people who were homophobic. We embarrassed them. Now, if Kenny and Spenny are willing to suck a guy's cock to win,
right?
Then you're a fucking idiot for hating gay people. And you know, we did one like, you know, who the kids like more too, and like it was so smart and so well done, and
it really
and
was,
we really man. Just were self deprecating.
Do you miss it?
Oh, I miss. Yeah, I miss. I was the best. It was so much fun. Spenny's a real fucking dick though. Like, he was really hard to work with.
Really?
Yeah, he wasn't. He thought he deserved it. He wasn't. He I did all the behind the scenes. I did all the post. He didn't. He would always fuck off to LA and try and get a gig when I was doing the show. But you know, unlike other shows,
I love how open you are talking about that.
Unlike other shows, where you know, when the relationships in the series broke down, the show would get worse.
Yeah,
ours actually got better, and that's over the years.
That's interesting.
The more I hated him, the heavier the show got, and the worse the humiliations got. So you actually, this show is about the destruction of a childhood friendship. You know what I mean?
Why was it? Do you think that everybody has their point of view? He would have a point of view if he was sitting here, and your point of view is that he was selfish?
Is that he was raised very rich as an only child, and I was raised poor as a middle child.
Okay.
So, you know.
More, there's a hunger issue.
Yeah, I don't know. He, you know, instead of treating it like wrestling, where he'd look, yeah, okay. Originally, when we started the show, I thought, oh my God, people are going to hate me. I'm a cheater. I'm devious. And people are going to think I'm a scumbag. And they're going to hate me. And I was willing to take that. Mm. What happened was, after three episodes, everybody hated Spenny because he was a moralist and he was paranoid and neurotic.
Right.
So that was a surprise to both of us. Mm. You know, so I'm sorry, buddy. You know, people hate you because you sound like a fucking cult leader and an evangelist, and you're a moralist, and you're, I won't lie, and I'll only tell the truth. The reality was, the show didn't matter. The show's really about a guy that didn't care and a guy that cared.
Right.
And that's why they loved me.
Yeah.
Because I didn't care. What do I care?
It was a true Abbott and Costello.
Yeah. What do I care if I abide by the rules? The rules are so stupid. It's a stupid show, but, you know, we did a million episodes, and none of them matter. Like, who can keep a dump in your pants, really? Like, you know, I pour kitty litter down my pants. He thought I was cheating.
Did you develop a rash? How long was that shit in your pants?
Oh, it's the worst. Oh my God, that's terrible.
That's the worst.
And that,
how long?
I don't know, 4 days,
dude. And did you?
I tried to constipate myself.
Did you?
First.
Were you able to?
God, I can't remember. You know, when you do that many shows,
stunk.
You've done a lot of shows. That stuff must have.
That must have stunk.
Yeah, well, the crew was in gas masks the entire time.
I know. It was so hilarious.
But that's the worst show for me. Like, that, I'm embarrassed about that show. I'm sorry our show got to that point. It was a catch-22.
But it's not. But see, I think it was hilarious. As crazy as it was, I just, it's funny how something can be that gross and outrageous, and yet you watch it and you're laughing.
Yeah, we did Who Could Be Tied to a Goat the Longest, where we both tied live goats to our legs. And I thought it was funny. It actually came from my favorite Polanski movie, The Fat and the Lean.
Right.
And so I thought, oh, you know what? This is funny. Guess what? You don't want a fucking goat tied to your fucking leg. The entire house was covered in fleas.
Oh,
there's shit and piss everywhere. Like, these are the things that you don't think about. And it just became this total unmitigated disaster. But it was funny.
Who won?
I never give away the endings. But I basically always win. You know,
you're genius about winning. Did people come up with the? With, did they help you win?
I wish. Oh my God!
You're such a good cheater.
I
dude.
Wish that I you know, I've my friend Sebastian Kluwer did every show with me, but you know, when it really came down to like the humiliations or just what my plan was, it's like Trey on South Park. You know, I had to do it myself, and I really wish there's sometimes when people would give me an idea, like Sebby, which was incredible.
I know, but the
but
stuff
I couldn't like, find, we couldn't never find writers or anybody for that show.
But the stuff you did, like you do in Rags to Bitches, where you like rig the door in the hotel.
You've
like,
been listening
you come
to
up
the
with
Brian
that?
Callen
that,
Show.
How'd you know about the losers
sure
in
that? I just figured for out. Information about this
that
episode,
works, by the way.
Well
a lot of
fans
and giving people
episodes.
Advice so they give you,
you
a chip. That
Brian
shit is like stuff
Twitter
that really
Brian
makes
Callen.
Sense.
Yeah, it's desperation. It's amazing. I've been doing that for years, though. I don't know. I just, you know what? It's just this insight I have when
you see
people. Like,
yeah, you're really good.
You know, I'm telling you, it's really true. If you go to Las Vegas and you sit next to somebody who just lost $7,000 and you play in the slot machine next to them, you will win.
Why?
Because they have the worst luck and
somebody else for the law of averages.
Yeah, no, I don't know what it is. Because I really don't believe in God or anything, but that's the only thing that makes me believe in like karma.
Yeah.
Or something. And you know, I've so many times I've sat next to some poor guy with like, you know, an oxygen hose on and I just put in a, you know, a dollar next to him and win like $200.
Incredible.
But all that stuff is real. And I know people think it's fake or anything. It's not worth it. It's too dangerous to do stuff. It's better to do something. In fact, I was kind of upset that I did so well in that thing because I thought that the show is going to be so much fun about me becoming homeless
right.
and seeing how to survive. But it just kind of turned around and, you know, I ended up making cash. So I, you know, I was kind of a little bit upset about that in the end, but you know, people like it.
Great.
And then the other thing is just, you never know what people are going to like. You know, this is a,
you never know what
this is a business
like.
Where Citizen Kane didn't get released. Like,
I know.
What chance do any of us have?
Well, it's like The Hangover. I mean, the you know, by the time we did The Hangover 2, obviously it was a huge phenomenon, but when The Hangover was like, nobody knew those guys.
Could you imagine pitching The Hangover? You know, it's the most mundane
Todd
idea
Phillips,
ever.
Again, being the genius that he is, Todd Phillips literally said, let me cast who I want, give me this money, and I'll take no money. I think he was making like $8 million a movie, and he's like, I won't take any money. Keep the money. Give me a piece of the movie. This is how much I believe in it. I remember when he told me that, and I was like, oh, no, Todd, this is going to be. Because on the script, it's a good script. It didn't look like it was going to be what it was. It's such a great movie. But he's a fucking, you know.
I know, but you
never know.
And the idea just seemed so, like, monotonous. Like, imagine going to go pitch it. It's about these four guys going on a road trip to Vegas for a bachelor
party.
I read
the script. I was like, I don't know. It seems good.
Yeah, you never know. You know, it's fucking.
It's an accident. The best thing Alec Baldwin said is if a movie is a success, it's an accident because there are so many moving parts.
Yeah.
So many things can go wrong. It's the same thing with TV shows.
Well, that's why I only work with my friends and my stuff's extremely, you know, private. And that's all I've ever done. You know, it's such a collaborative effort. You know, it's such a scary fucking business. A PA, actually, some fucking loser, some PA, a guy who's basically a 15-year-old janitor that picks up snotty Kleenexes and gets you coffee, takes your negatives in a car to a lab. Like your entire movie, you give it to him, and he drives it someplace, and the thing's worth $3 million, and that's an industry norm.
Isn't that crazy?
That he left it in the
car.
No,
he did.
No, I'm just saying.
A movie where they lost. I did a movie in Maryland where they lost two reels, and we had to just, you know, we had to shoot. And trying to recapture that magic and all that, it was heartbreaking.
Yeah, one of the most famous Canadian movies in history, Nanook of the North. They went up to, I don't really know the story. They went up to the Arctic for like 3 years, like Captain, you know, Cook. And it's like, and they went and they shot this movie. They finished shooting the movie. The warehouse where they were storing the negs burnt down.
Oh.
And then they had to go and remake the entire movie again. Yeah. But I'm just saying, it's so collaborative, and there's so many fucking idiots in parts. It scares the living shit out of me.
So many things can go wrong.
And that's why I get worried about doing other people's movies and
then,
stuff.
And then you get a couple of people, like human beings go, I don't know, I don't feel like going to see that kind of movie now.
Yeah.
you know?
Well, now with, listen, I sit at home. I've got this program on my computer. I got every movie, every TV show in the world free streaming on my computer. The whole entire thing's changing. It's insanity.
The whole thing is changing, man. I got this smart TV out there where I can like download shit just from the, you know, nobody even watches.
Yeah, I cancel my cable, cancel my Netflix.
Well, I'm going to shoot my special, my next special in September. And, you know, that's what, 6 months from now. And one of the things that I was talking to is people aren't going to buy DVDs. It's not going to be DVDs anymore. I'm going to do it with AOL or someone. I don't know who. Somebody who can download it and you can watch it on the internet.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. Whether don't or not worry,
I'll
you
steal
paid,
it for you.
Huh?
I'll steal it, put KennyHotz.com on it, and send it out there.
Produced Kenny Hotz presents Brian Callen doing Kenny Hotz.
I'll put a Yasser Arafat beard on you. Everyone will think it's me.
It's a good idea. We could be brothers, sort of.
Good. I hope so. Gay brothers.
Kenny Hotz, I appreciate you.
I love you so much. This is so nice to be here. Honestly, this is the fact that I could sit here after living in a garage down the street for 5 years with no car. Like, I lived down the street. I lived on 6th and Rose.
Jesus.
Broke. Fucking
go to,
living
go to
on
Rose now. It's like,
I know, I can't believe it. The house I moved into the garage from, the lady offered it to me for 200 G's, you know, even after the market crash. I think it's probably worth $1 million.
Yes, easy.
You know, I was living,
Google moved down there.
Yeah, when I was living in Venice, there's fucking ghetto birds in the sky. Everyone's getting shot every night. It was that was 98.
Ghetto birds meaning helicopters, everybody.
Yeah, that's what we call them in the hood, yo.
Well, I look forward to seeing what your next project is. You are a very innovative, funny, gutsy human being.
Watch Triumph for the Will. I love it.
Isn't that Rags to Bitches? Or?
No, I did 6 episodes.
Oh, okay, I will. Watch Triumph for the Will. Go to YouTube. And if you really want to treat yourself, watch Kenny versus Spenny. And there are 90 episodes. And it never gets boring. And it never gets bad. That's
thank
my
you,
pitch
everybody.
To you.
Thank you, Brian.
America and Canada and world. Thank you once again for tuning in
and those
to the
of
Brian
you,
Callen Show.
Those of you in Uttar Pradesh.
What?
Those of you in Uttar Pradesh, Google it.
Most importantly, you people in Uttar Pradesh. Thank you. Bye-bye.